Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
We're monitoring several different stories. One of the stories I've been telling you about this week is the students in Wisconsin. They decided to march 50 miles from their hometown to Paul Ryan's hometown of Janesville, Wisconsin. And apparently now they have arrived at his office or his home. I'm not sure exactly which one. I'm following this on Twitter. Happening now. Students arrive in House Speaker Paul Ryan's hometown of Janesville, Wisconsin, after marching 50 miles to demand school safety and gun reform. Now, one of the things that they were talking about doing was actually going to Paul Ryan's home. And so I've seen reports where they're going to go to his home, seen other reports they're going to go to his office. I'm assuming that they may indeed go to both. And so that is one of several gun-related conversations that we're having today, and I'll continue to monitor that. One of the more interesting stories, I posted this on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page very quickly. The Parkland shooting survivors, you know, we're talking about David Hogg and some of these other folks. Well, it looks like they're having a hard time getting into school, getting into colleges. Listen to this. Parkland shooting survivors rejected from California colleges, despite organizing a global movement against gun violence, which they themselves billed as a revolution. Well, some of the survivors are having trouble getting into their chosen colleges. Of course, we all know who David Hogg is. I mean, I've played you audio from this guy. There's a video on the was a video on the Facebook page of this guy just F-bombs and S-bombs, just angry, arrogant, vitriolic, and quite frankly wrong, as he is calling out politicians and talking about gun control and everything else. So we all know that this is a guy, David Hogg, a darling of the media. Well, he has now been rejected from four of the schools he applied to in California: UCLA, UCSD, UCSB, and UC Irvine. Now, apparently, he's got a pretty good GPA, at least from what I'm reading here. He has a 4.2 GPA, and he scored a 1270 on his SATs, both of which are considered above average. You know, for his part, and here's the most important part of this story is coming up, because I love the quote from David Hogg. If this doesn't tell you the level of self-importance of these kids, yesterday I presented this whole thing to you about how it was clear that these kids, all of these protests they're fueled by a number of different things, and you know this. These protests are fueled by the left. They're fueled by Hollywood. They're fueled by George Soros. We know that these kids are being used as pawns for a larger agenda, that they have absolutely no idea that they are being used. But putting all of that aside, David Hogg and the rest of his cohorts, they're really starting to believe their own publicity, their own headlines. And I think a lot of this is now being born out of, frankly, narcissism. He says, it's been kind of annoying having to deal with that college, and everything else has been going on. But at this point, you know, we're changing the world. Yes, David Hogg feels like he is changing the world. Now, I would have to say to David Hogg, you're not actually changing the world. What is really happening is you are indeed being used. He says, we're too busy right now. It's really the protest and the movement that we're focused on, and not necessarily college. But he's, you know, in fairness to David Hogg, and it's going to, you know, pain me to say this, but he's not making any excuses about not getting into the colleges. He's not attributing his rejection of these colleges to his involvement in the movement, suggesting instead that he has been overlooked in a vast number of applications. His exact quote to TMZ, I'm not surprised at all. He says, I think there's a lot of amazing people that don't get to college, not only that do things like I do, again, there's that narcissism and self-importance, but because their voices just are not heard in the tsunami of people that apply every year for college in such an economic impacted school system in which we have here in America, where people have to go into massive amounts of debt just to go to college and get an education. So maybe he's going to go the Bernie Sanders route next. He's going to demand free college for everybody. That'll be the next march. He has yet to decide where to go and that it was not a priority given his ongoing activism. And it goes on and on. But, you know, he is getting, if you think about it, he's getting quite the education right now on learning the ability to hide behind a shield of activism and incredulity, meaning they're, what, 17 students and teachers that are dead. We know that. So let's feed our own ignorance and our own narcissism by calling out the NRA and politicians and inanimate objects such as guns. That's the education that he's getting. The education to, in my opinion, misdirect or redirect what really needs to be talked about after the shootings in Parkland, Florida, and other places as well. I've said this all along. I've said this since this whole movement started, that what this whole thing is, all of these movements all around the country, right now it's happening in Wisconsin. As these students, they have this publicity stunt of marching 50 miles to demand school safety and gun reform of Speaker Paul Ryan. And now they've arrived in his hometown of Janesville, Wisconsin. But the problem is they're not even remotely touching the truth. They're not remotely touching what really needs to be talked about. And we've been talking about it here on WTN and my show for weeks, if not years, as a matter of fact. Because every time there's one of these shootings, the narrative is always the same. Now, what's different between the Parkland shooting and what's happened in years past is this has become now a nationwide movement with all of these various protests and marches with the likes of David Hogg and Emma Gonzalez and others being given this platform by the mainstream media. And we know all this. But we know that they're being used as political pawns by the left. We know all about the activist groups. We know about the funding from the left as well. We know about the fact that they are indeed the darlings of Hollywood. It was, who was it again? It was George Clooney and some other folks. But Paul McCartney, I think somebody said yesterday, Paul McCartney was out there as well protesting with these folks. And they are truly, and here's what I think is a major red flag for this thing. When you start enjoying all of the media attention, that should be an indication that you are getting ready to jump the shark with the American people. That's when it becomes less about your cause and more about you, and again, more about your narcissism. And I believe that that's what's happening with David Hogg and Emma Gonzalez and some of these other folks. But, you know, this is one of those things where it's a gun grab. And that's what they're trying to do. And you know what I've said, by the way, about how this is an attempt by the left to cultivate a whole new voting bloc, a whole new generation of voters. Because essentially what they're doing is, and, you know, I know the people tune in and out all the time, so you've heard this point from me before. I think what they're doing, what the left is doing is this is less about a movement regarding guns, and it's far more about cultivating an entire new voting bloc. You've got all these kids in high school who are going to be of voting age very soon. And what the left is essentially doing, and what David Hogg is doing, and what Emma Gonzalez is doing, and a lot of these other folks, is they are equating gun violence and massacres and all this other stuff with Republicans and with conservatives. And by doing so, they're making guns and conservatives the common enemy that a lot of these kids, as they grow up, they're going to equate with Republicans. And so then they're going to vote Democrat as they get older and become registered to vote and so forth. And to me, that is just obvious. But I guess the question is, how many people will actually see this for what it is? Because while it's obvious to me and you, a lot of people simply don't see it. And so now as this movement continues throughout America, the big question is going to be, will they ultimately get away with it, or will somebody finally call these kids on what they are doing, which is, again, to me, misdirecting from the far bigger problems that we have in this country with, say, for example, mental illness. And yesterday, and you can see the article, by the way, I had a lot of people the last couple of days ask me about this story that I have been covering for the last several weeks. Some of these policies from the Obama administration back in 2014, the Obama administration, President Obama, really pressuring schools to stop the quote unquote school to prison funnel, where kids were going from their schools to prison because the schools were actually holding kids accountable for some of the things that they were doing, some of the misdeeds and some of the crimes that they were committing in the schools. And so the schools just decided, OK, well, if we're going to get threatened by the Obama administration, and the Obama administration is upset because minority students and students of color are being sent to, prison straight out of school. Well, then what we're going to do is we're not going to expel these kids. We're not going to hold these kids accountable for the crimes that they commit or the rules that they break. We're just going to simply let them get away with all of these things. And so that led to, as I pointed out to you yesterday, what that has led to is an increase in violence in schools across America. And yesterday, I painstakingly, and you can hear it on the podcast, you can also see the post on the Facebook page, there is instance after instance after instance and teacher after teacher after teacher that will tell you that since schools began implementing these changes, these lax disciplinary rules, they're in the from the Obama administration in the schools, then the violence and the threats against teachers has continued. And there's some districts where teachers have just said, screw it. To hell with this, man. We're out of here because we keep getting beaten up by students and there's nobody holding these students accountable, which essentially encourages more violence against the teachers. And it's so obvious. And you got all these students in Janesville, Wisconsin, and other places all across America. You know, yesterday I talked about how Obama himself decided to grace these students with a handwritten note from he and Michelle talking about how they were so proud of these students. When the truth of the matter is that it was his policies that helped create Nicholas Cruz. It was his policies, because they've seen this. You know, they saw that even in the district there in Parkland, Florida, where Nicholas Cruz did this horrific act. This is a guy, Nicholas Cruz, as you know, he should have been suspended. He should have been expelled for the things that he did. But instead, they pushed him from school to school to school to school, never having to face the consequences of what he should have faced for the negative and the bad things that he had done, the rules that he had broken. The crimes, for example, that he had committed. You don't think that doesn't embolden somebody when they don't face any consequences, when they do something wrong? Of course it does. Anybody who has had any amount of time around a child knows that if you don't hold them accountable for their actions, what's going to happen? They're going to keep doing more and more. They're going to push and push and push. And at some point, somebody has to hold these kids accountable. Now, unfortunately, it took the deaths of 17 innocent people for someone to finally hold Nicholas Cruz accountable. Unfortunately, for not only those 17 innocent people who lost their lives, but others who were injured as well, they themselves suffered the consequences of these policies from the Obama administration. Now, the question is, and I wrapped up the show with this yesterday, my question is, okay, so now where is President Trump? It has been well documented that these policies from President Obama, former President Obama, has led to more violent schools. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, yippee. There's not as many minorities there that are being arrested. Well, the reason for that is because, again, they're not holding them accountable for the crimes that they're committing. So then my question is, where is President Trump? Where is the president? He himself should be taking a look, because we know that he's a hands-on kind of guy. He himself should be looking at these policies and getting with his administration and say, okay, what we need to do is stop this. We need to start holding kids accountable once again. And every single day that the president does not withdraw these policies and these threats from the former Obama administration, that is one more day towards another school shooting. And so at some point, you have to stop blaming Obama and start asking President Trump, okay, what have you done? And that would be my question to President Trump. It's 120 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandy Show, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN.
I'm Pamela Furr. Former child actor Corey Feldman says he was stabbed last night, even posted pictures. But the LAPD says no, he wasn't. The bizarre story coming up at 1:30 on WTN.
It is bizarre. 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. 126. Speaking of bizarre, Planned Parenthood, for the love of God, man. Apparently now, I heard Brian mention this earlier today. Planned Parenthood has decided that it would be a good idea to tweet out that we need a Disney princess who's had an abortion. Really? A Pennsylvania Planned Parenthood clinic thinks that Disney should incorporate a princess who, yes, indeed, has had an abortion into their library of admirable women. Now, think about that for a moment. Now, and I don't want to get into a whole abortion thing, but I think this tells you, you know, people talk about how liberals are, you know, mentally ill and this kind of thing. And there are times when I do wonder, either they are mentally ill or they are so incredibly tone deaf to think that this is something that would go over well in the world of Twitter and social media. And let's face it, not everybody is as pro-choice as they are. Not everybody celebrates the death of a child inside the womb like they do, but they somehow thought it would be a good idea. And I've told you my stories about how I have women, friends, girls, I wasn't involved, but women who have had abortions. And it is something that they never, ever forget. And they look at it with so much regret, a lot of these women. And so for Planned Parenthood to say that we need a Disney princess to say that it's okay to have an abortion, that we need to have a Disney princess to celebrate abortions, is just abhorrent to me. Planned Parenthood's other brilliant suggestions for Disney princesses include ones who are pro-choice, an undocumented immigrant, actually a union worker, and apparently a Disney princess who is trans. So does that mean that you need a Disney prince who is then a Disney princess? Is that what they're looking for? I don't know. Story goes, few people seemed receptive to the tweet. Ben Shapiro, editor-in-chief of the Daily Wire and a guy I really like, wrote, quote, "We need a Disney princess who uses her royal authority to defund you stupid a-holes." Uh-huh. By the way, Planned Parenthood receives over $500 million in government funding. It is astonishing to me that they really didn't think that they would get some sort of a blowback. But we also know that the world is so full of liberals who think that this is a great idea. I just don't get it. I really don't. These people are absolutely, at least in my opinion, twisted and demented as they continue to celebrate abortion. It is astonishing to me. Okay, coming up next, missives from Orange County, California, where I've got to tell you, this a battle over illegal aliens, it is reaching a fever pitch in California. You're not going to believe the very latest. It's all straight ahead on WTN. 136 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. No Lena on Twitter. I'm not going to move back to California, trust me. She says, hey, Ed Pamela Furr, don't let Ed Dan Mandy Show get his hands on good reports about Orange County and illegals. He may just move back to California if they fix the problem. No, that's okay. I can't ever see myself going back to my hometown. However, it looks like there is going to be now a huge battle that's going to ensue in the state of California between the county of Orange, Orange County. Now, just in case you don't know, you've got L.A. County, and then to the south, you've got Orange County. Now, Orange County, it's more, at least it used to be, more highfalutin. It's considered, at least used to be, considered the Orange Curtain. Now, I will admit, don't hold it against me, but I used to live in Orange County. It used to be, now realize what I say, it used to be an amazing place to live. It's where Disneyland is and the Anaheim Angels, or Los Angeles, I don't know what they're calling them now, but the Angels. It used to be the California Angels. That's where they are. Anaheim is in Orange County. So just to give you a little bit of an indication as to where exactly it is. Well, now the sheriff's office is in Orange County, because we all know that California has turned itself into essentially a sanctuary state. And now the sheriff's office in Orange County is really pushing back against this. And now the authorities in California are saying that they will arrest the sheriff in Orange County, because everybody disagrees on whether or not California should be a sanctuary state. Because the sheriff in Orange County, he's saying, listen, we've got to abide by the federal laws. And the California Attorney General, Xavier Becerra, he says, you know what, I'm not going to rule out taking action against these officials who are fighting these state laws. Here's the story, and this is from Fox News, but it is all over the place today. Officials in California's Orange County voted this week to join this lawsuit from the Trump administration fighting the state's sanctuary city laws, hours after the county sheriff's department announced its own methods of pushing back against the legislation aimed at protecting illegal aliens. So, much to my amazement, there are some rational people in California. Then there is California Attorney General Xavier Becerra, who, by the way, is an absolute frothing-at-the-mouth liberal who absolutely hates President Trump. So he's threatening, apparently, to arrest the sheriff for simply trying to execute federal laws. He says, state law is state law. It's my job to enforce state law, and I will do so, Becerra says. He's telling the LA Times, we want to make sure that every jurisdiction, including Orange County, understands what state law requires of the people and the subdivisions of the state of California. I would say to Xavier Becerra, why don't you go down to Garden Grove? Why don't you go down to Anaheim? Why don't you go into Orange County and see, come down from Sacramento or wherever godforsaken place you live, and go into Orange County and see what illegal immigration has done to places like Garden Grove, has done to places like Anaheim. It is an absolute crap hole. There was a story just a couple of weeks ago. I forgot to even do it, but it was because it's along the same lines of a lot of these other stories that I've shared with you, where they have these huge encampments of homeless people. You had thousands, hundreds of people. I think it may have been over 1,000. You had all these people that were living in the basin. It's a concrete riverbed. And they had to finally clear everybody out. And a lot of those people were illegals. You know what they found? They found drug paraphernalia, alcohol, I mean, you name it. And this was, what, less than a mile from Disneyland? The happiest place on earth? Yeah, right. It was an absolute mess. Now, here's some background. The Orange County Board of Supervisors voted 3-0 earlier to join the U.S. Justice Department's lawsuit, and they argued that the California laws were deliberately interfering with federal immigration policies. Now, one of the laws bars police in many cases from turning over suspects to federal immigration agents for deportation. I've been sharing with you all about what's been happening in California. And one of the new laws in California specifically says that local authorities, you know, like sheriff's offices, they are not allowed to essentially work with ICE. So you got somebody who comes in and they, you know, kill somebody, the drunk driving, whatever it is. The local authorities are not allowed to turn over these guys to the federal agents to get them deported. That essentially violates California law. So then what happens is they end up back out on the street, and you know what happens then. I don't need to sit here and talk about how many innocent Americans, how many innocent Californians have been killed by illegal immigrants. I tell you about this stuff all the time. This legislation prevents law enforcement, talking about the new legislation, this legislation prevents law enforcement from removing criminals from our community and is a threat to public safety. That's one of the people, the supervisor there that works in the Orange County Sheriff's Office. I mean, that's obvious to anybody who knows anything about common sense. You don't even have to know anything about the ongoing debate over illegal immigration and illegal aliens. All you have to do is realize you got bad people and you got good people. The bad people need to go away, because oftentimes they end up hurting or robbing or whatever the good people. But in California, it's like nothing makes sense. And the reason why I obsess over what's happening in California, as you know, is because there are good people in California who say, well, screw this. We're out of here. And we're going to go and we're going to live in places like, oh, I don't know, Texas, Tennessee, you name it. So now people are finally fighting back in California. In California, their attorney general, Xavier Becerra, is literally threatening to arrest people there in the sheriff's office in Orange County. The county moved earlier this week to improve communication with federal immigration agents. Now, this is what the sheriff wanted to do in Orange County so that they could work with the federal immigration agents. What they wanted to do was they wanted to publish the release dates of some of these illegals online. And that way, the federal authorities and ICE would know who these folks are and when they should come pick them up. It's that simple. The sheriff's department used to screen inmates in the county's jails to help Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, agents identify those subjects to deportation, but had to stop after California passed the state laws. It's like we have an entire state that's protecting criminals to the detriment of law-abiding citizens. So now you've got Orange County Under Sheriff Don Barnes telling Fox News in an interview that Becerra's comments, quote, were threatening, but the sheriff's office was not doing anything that the law does not allow. It's just the disagreement is over federal versus state. The disagreement essentially is over who is supposed to do what. Barnes added that the law has put Californians at risk by returning dangerous individuals back into the communities. Yeah, that's true. That's what we call common sense. But again, remember, liberals in California and pretty much liberals everywhere, they don't operate under the same rules of common sense and the same thought processes of common sense as everybody else does. Anyway, Barnes added that the law has put Californians at risk by returning dangerous individuals back into the communities, and that by making this information public, the sheriff's office was trying to help the community be safer. Now, you read about this stuff all the time, where you have people who are dangerous criminals, they end up going to jail. And this is why there are legal immigrants who really hate the sanctuary city or sanctuary state policies of California. Because these guys who commit these crimes, they get out of prison or they get out of jail, the local jail, and they go right back into the communities that they've been terrorizing. And so the legal immigrants, they get tired of these illegal aliens basically ruining their communities. And that is what's happening. But Jerry Brown and Xavier Becerra out there in California, they don't care about that. They don't care that their state is literally imploding. He says this Orange County Undersheriff Don Barnes continues on. These are very serious crimes, and they're being returned back into the community. And quite honestly, he says, back into the communities in which they preyed upon and committed their crimes to begin with. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't have said it any better myself. Matter of fact, now we all know what happened in Oakland, California. Now, Oakland is up Northern California, the Bay Area, of course. And so we know what happened there when the mayor of Oakland tweeted out, ICE is coming, ICE is coming. And we had hundreds of these illegal aliens just absolutely scatter. So clearly the state of California is doing at least it seems to me, far and above what other states have been doing to try and preserve this whole sanctuary city, sanctuary state status. The Orange County Register reported that the sheriff's department would publish a, quote, who's in jail online database, including the date and time of inmates' release, to help cooperate with other law enforcement agencies, including ICE. Then ICE agents could come and get these guys and some women, I'm assuming, and then deport them. So this is one of the ongoing battles now that has happened in California, because you have some of these local jurisdictions who are realizing, our little community here is being absolutely decimated by illegal aliens, being decimated by the crime, being decimated by all of the ill effects of illegal immigration. Earlier this month, another California, Los Alamitos, I think that's in SoCal, approved an ordinance to opt out of the sanctuary city law that council members say conflicts with federal law. Now, board members say the state law, quote, may be in direct conflict with federal laws and the Constitution, and also goes against the oath that they took for office. And so that is a huge debate that is going on right now in California. Obviously not surprising, because California has a ton of problems. And so now finally there is some rational conversation that is taking place. But the big question is, who's going to eventually prevail? Will it be the liberals or will it be the more rational thinking Republicans in California? So we'll have to see what happens. 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. One last thing about California, then I promise you I'm done. I've been telling you about the fate of one Christina Garcia. She is a California assemblywoman. You remember this woman, right? She was the California assemblywoman who was somebody who was also a very vocal proponent of the whole hashtag MeToo campaign, right, which is still going on. Well, it turns out Christina Garcia is somebody who has a propensity to, one, get drunk, and then, two, start groping a whole bunch of guys. I mean, there have been numerous now accusations that she not only would get drunk and grope guys, and we're talking about lobbyists and aides who worked for other politicians there in the California Assembly, but she would also play things like spin the bottle in her office. She would also talk openly in her office about what it was like to sleep with other members of her staff. And so there was a number of different staff members from her office that have been, you know, telling folks from various media outlets, yeah, this is what she does. This is what it's like to work for Christina Garcia. Now, she, of course, is denying all this, but there are multiple, and when I say multiple, there are multiple people that are saying, yeah, she is a hypocrite. She is the exact personification of what the hashtag MeToo crowd is going after as far as guys go. But this is a woman doing the same damn thing. Now she's being accused of a homophobic slur. This is from the LA Times. Now, this woman, she's an interesting character. She really is. She, by the way, she's a Democrat out of Bell Gardens, also in Southern California. Garcia acknowledged in an interview with KQED television that she had indeed used the homophobic slur to describe gay people and did not dispute this allegation that she used the term to describe former Assembly Speaker John A. Perez, the state's first openly gay speaker. She denied using other homophobic slurs, just the H word. She says, have I at some point used the word, and I'm just going to read it, homo? Yeah, I've used the word homo, she says. I don't know that I've used it in a derogatory context. I'm not gay, but I would think that if if somebody was a homosexual, they would take offense to the term homo. I don't know, though, because I don't run in those circles. Anyway, so who knows what's going to happen with Assemblywoman Christina Garcia. It is 1:51 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
I'm Pamela Furr. The jury now deliberating the fate of the Pulse nightclub shooter's wife and more than $500 million up for grabs in Friday's Mega Millions. These stories and more coming up at 2 on WTN.
1:57 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandy Show, 615-737-9986. 615-737-WWTN. Very interesting story. It's a feel-good story, although not if you're the guy that spent 23 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. Listen to this. This guy spent 23 years in prison for a heinous crime. He was later proven innocent and has now been welcomed back to his old job as a groundskeeper for the Chicago White Sox. I mean, this is everybody's worst nightmare, right? The guy's name is Nevis Coleman, and he was convicted in a 1994 rape and murder that was overturned in November after DNA evidence linked the crime to a serial rapist. Coleman, at the time, was working for the White Sox when he was convicted. So the first thing that he asked for when he got out of prison, he wished for a hamburger, probably In-N-Out. And then he said, I want to go back and work for the White Sox again as a groundskeeper. And so the White Sox have now welcomed back this guy who spent 23 years in prison for a crime he did not commit with open arms. Got a lot more straight ahead right here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.